In my first year of seminary, one of my professors warned us about his grading scale. He was a tough grader, apparently, and many students who were accustomed to getting A's found it difficult to get an A in his class. But then he added a comment that I have never forgotten. He said, "Even if you are fully capable of getting an A, God might not be calling you to get an A. There might be other situations or other people that God is calling you to give your time to that are more important than getting an A in this class." Now, maybe he was just laying the groundwork to be able to deny requests for extensions. I don't know. But that sentence blew my mind. Somewhere along the way in life, I had developed an assumption that striving to do my very best at everything was inherently good, that it glorified God, that being a good Christian meant figuring out what I was good at and then giving it 100% all of the time, except when I got sick and had to sleep for a week. God could forgive the sickness, I rationalized, without ever realizing that perhaps there was a connection between my drive to achieve and the tendency to fall ill afterwards. The idea that God might actually want me to give only 70% of my potential effort to my coursework so that I could be fully present to a person or a situation in my life, that was a whole new concept. It was a helpful and timely corrective to some of my natural inclination toward being task-oriented. A huge part of being a pastor, it turns out, is being willing to compromise perfection on one task, like writing a sermon, in order to be fully present to a person in need of pastoral care. But in our gospel text today, Jesus isn't even doing a particularly good job of being present to his distressed disciples. They load onto a boat after a day of teaching, and before long find themselves in the middle of a terrifying storm. And where is Jesus, their leader? Asleep, in the stern of the ship. Sleeping so soundly that the turbulent waves and the spray of seawater and the panicked yelling of the disciples don't even register. The disciples are angry at him. They feel betrayed. As they shake him awake, they ask him, "Do you not care that we're about to die? Do you not care?" What do we think? Did Jesus not care? Was he sleeping because he was lazy or apathetic? Or did he have a different reason? Maybe Jesus was sleeping so that the disciples could learn to make decisions without him. Help them practice a little independence. As a parent, I know something about that. Maybe he was sleeping for dramatic effect, waiting until the peak of panic before stilling the storm and the waves. Or, and hear me out, maybe he was sleeping because he was tired. Maybe he was sleeping because he was a human being. And humans need rest. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Mary mentioned that the sin of envy makes an appearance in the Ten Commandments. One could argue that sloth does as well, but not as a sin to avoid. We have a whole commandment devoted to the concept of doing nothing. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Do your work on the other days, but on the Sabbath, every seventh day, do no work. And don't make other people in your household do it for you either. Everyone rests. No one works. Imagine it. Even with all our gadgets and smart devices, it is hard to structure life in such a way that we can set aside a full 24 hours with no labor. No cooking, no laundry, no grocery shopping, no checking emails, no homework, no weeding, no mowing. Really imagine it. Imagine having a full day with no obligations. How long would it take to feel guilty? Do you think you'd make it to lunch? Now, imagine having a day like that every week. We live in a society that places so much moral value on working that we've come to assume that anyone who isn't spending 100% of their energy being productive is morally compromised. And this assumption causes the most harm to people who are working extremely long hours at tedious and often dangerous jobs, but who do not have material success to show for it. Being poor in America is exhausting. The amount of time and energy that's required to access social services, or get approved for disability, or qualify for subsidized housing amounts to more than a full-time job. Yes, much of that time is spent just sitting in offices and waiting on hold, but those are hours in which no other job can be done. To judge people who are stuck in these grueling systems as lazy or selfish is dehumanizing. And that is exactly what the Sabbath commandment guards us against. Sabbath exists as a weekly reminder that our work is secondary. The sun rises and falls without us. The world keeps spinning, and we exist. We do not need to earn our keep on this planet. We don't earn our worth. No one does. Every person on the planet reflects the image of God and has the right to simply exist, to be alive and do nothing, or to do something trivial, something that amounts to nothing. That right to simply be is so vital that we are commanded to guard it, to protect one day every week for rest. I'd like to say that my seminary professor's words provided all that I needed to break my unhealthy relationship with achievement, but to the contrary, it's a dynamic that I continue to wrestle with. For most of my career, I have grown more and more comfortable with the contradictory poles of life in ministry. I've learned that it's okay for some projects to take longer than I would choose, because the interruptions are important too. I've learned to balance energy between church and family, and to be unapologetic about the days when I am only a C-minus pastor in order to be an A-plus mom. But one of the gifts of COVID times for me was the gentle whisper of the Holy Spirit asking, "Sarah, what if it's okay for there to be days when you're pulling a B in all of your roles just so that you can be alive for its own sake? What if you can compromise on all the achievements to take care of yourself? What if it's not just for the sake of other people that you can learn to slow down? What if you can slow down for your own sake? What if you are worthy of existing without anything to show for it? What if you are worthy of existing without anything to show for it?" last year, a little phrase in this gospel text stood out to me for the first time. Right near the beginning of the story, it says that the disciples led Jesus onto the boat just as he was. And then he slept. Friends, this is the gift that we find in sloth. This is the invitation in Sabbath. Come, just as you are, and rest. Every single person on this planet is worthy of existing, worthy of being loved, worthy of experiencing joy, without ever having to achieve anything to prove themselves, including you. Amen.